We're looking again into the book of Revelation. We were, the last time we were together, we were in the 12th chapter. And we're going to go back in there tonight. Just a little sort of where we start left off and where we're jumping into tonight in the 12th chapter. We had went through the verses 7 through 11 in our ending there last week in that portion. One of the things we were looking at, and I just sort of want to go back to there and read that because we're... Up to this point, we have been going through the things of different ones of the judgments that God was doing. And there's going to come up to the, we'll be heading toward the area, eventually we're going to hit to the last judgments. This sort of building up and shows what is going on. There's this time period, these last 3.5 years, the things that are going on in that period of time, the rise of really the what we call the Antichrist. Here is a term that we used last week, the dragon, which deals with Satan, but also there's going to be involved in this thing as we looked at it. There's nations of the earth are going to be involved in this, behind this thing, really, that support this system that runs, that the Antichrist operates in. He's not a lone man just doing everything. He has people behind him. And well, I'm going to start at verse 7, where we read before, and read down through it. It says, verse 7 said, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. It says, so the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now I want you, because of the wording in this, there's people who go along and say, well, this is referring back to the beginning when Satan fell. I'm sorry, it can't be. Talks here, it says him deceiving the whole world. That's already been done. So this is happening in a time period. We need to understand where this falls at. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, he says, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren who has accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. This is referring to this time period. It's coming into what we're talking about, the Great Tribulation period. Satan was cast down. We had read from Daniel. We won't go over there again in that. One of the things we did in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, in verse 12, we had read where I talked about the fact where it says where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. And we talked about the fact because one of the revelations, and understand this, is one of the things that God did through Kenneth Hagin, really, and used him to do, was bring certain revelations back to the church, things that were lost. And one of the things is dealing with the areas, one of the things that the Lord dealt with Kenneth Hagin is dealing with demon powers. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about the fact of like... Well, he was born again, and when he got into the Pentecostal churches, he got filled with the Holy Ghost and all that kind of stuff going on. It's amazing during that period of time, those people didn't know that they could cast out devils and all that stuff. Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He says, people think that I knew this stuff that I know, he said, all the time. He said, no, most of this stuff I learned later on in life. He said, and a lot of it came through the revelations he got. Through the Lord of visions and stuff he had, where the Lord showed him things in scriptures. And so we need to know that these revelations were brought back. And one of the things that he dealt with him on was the fact is that the Lord spoke to him and said, concerning the scripture, he said, you see that there are four types of spiritual powers that are talked about here. He said, in the earth, he said, the Lord said to him, these are listed from the least powerful up to the greatest. The Lord told him, this is the list. He said, the church in the world, he said, you will deal with the first three types of demonic powers, which is principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this age. He said, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies, he said, those, he said, I deal with. He said, if you deal with the ones here, I will deal with the ones there. In other words, we have where Jesus told Peter and then stated later on about it. He said, whatever we bind in earth, he said, God will bind in heaven. Well, there's nothing in the heavens of heavens God needs to bind there. There ain't nothing in God's heaven. He's talking about these heavenly places, these demonic powers that are operating, that if we bind ones here, they're going to be bound there. See, there's nothing, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, God will bind, we bind here, God binds in heaven. Well, what's God going to bind in heaven? There ain't nothing evil in heaven to be bound. If there is, then it means when we get there, there's bad things in heaven. Well, I doubt that. So, anyhow, and this is what we're looking at. This thing that's going on with these, Satan is going to be cast down to the earth. And this is where, this is the last 3.5 years. This is where the bad starts, really gets worse because of this. Satan is just, we're going to find out because he knows his time's short. That's speaking of that time period. That people say, well, see, the devil knows today his time's short. That ain't what this is talking about. It's not out today. That time period, he's going to know. He's going to know when that takes place. Jesus is going to be returning shortly, and he's going to try at that time to just destroy everything. He's going to try to do everything he can to destroy everything. So, and he wants to destroy anything, especially that has to do with God's kingdom. And this is why during that time period, he tries to kill all the believers in Christ in the earth, and he tries to destroy Israel. Those are the two main things that his shots are at. That's what he's doing. Anything that belongs to God, he wants to destroy it. And that's what the last 3.5 years is about. So, anyhow, we go over to the 12th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. It says there, it starts off, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Then it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. He said, now in heaven, they're supposed to be rejoicing. Why? Because they're going to see the fulfillment carried out against judgments in the earth. Heaven's rejoicing, but he says, but he turns around, he says, okay, but you inhabitants in the earth, it ain't good. You need to tell people. You don't want to be in the earth yet. Woe to them, the inhabitants of the earth. He says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. See, this is the time. This is the last three and a half years period. He knows his time now is short. He has been cast down from his position that he held in authority, and he no longer can do things. He's here on the earth is what he knows. His time's coming. He's going to be bound 1,000 years. You know, he can read. He knows. He knows what's coming. So he sees it. And so it says, that goes on. It says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now remember, we talked about this male, this woman we talked about before, the last time we taught. This woman who we said was Israel, this is the one that produced the Messiah. That's who he's going to persecute. He's cast down, and we have here, what's he going to do? He's going to go after the one Israel who gave the Messiah into the earth. That's who he's going after. Now the church is not here. The church is not in the earth at that time. The church isn't here in this place. There are people, believers, but we're going to find this out as you go on. These believers that are in the earth, they don't have authority over Satan. They can't be the church in the earth. Because there's nowhere in Scripture, if the church lost authority over Satan, then the church ain't the church anymore, and Jesus Christ is a liar, and it ain't, and he ain't a liar. And so we need to understand what's going on in this earth is different. Some things have changed. So he says, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness of her to her place where she is nourished for a times, times and a half times from the presence of the serpent. So what happens is this one who is coming after her, the ones, in fact, we'll look in Scripture what Scripture says about these things. One thing is that they're going to go, he said, it's going to go into the wilderness, in other words, for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, the ones who have paid attention to the prophecy of Jesus, what Jesus said when they see the abomination of desolation, you'll know when Satan, when the dragon is cast down, he's going to declare himself as God. And that's what he's going to sit in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you see that, you flee. You don't even go in the house to change shoes. You don't go, you take off. Why? They're going to take off and he says, flee to the mountains. They're going to flee to that area and go over the mountains, which they will cross the Jordan, go over the mountains, and they go into the area which is Edom and Moab, which will not be held by the Antichrist. God's going to protect them there. We're going to find out. He protects them there. So the serpent, it says, spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged at the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of the offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, he's just going after who he can, because it seems to appear there's going to be a large amount of Jews who are going to flee. They're going to see what's coming and going to flee out, and they're going to. Now, when you see these terminologies here like flood and all that, it's not water, it's not those things. Well, you need to understand what this stuff is. I've heard people, and maybe they even wrote books. I mean, even read this stuff, and they would talk about, you know, they're going to, things they would do to try to flood them out of it. It's like, it's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about actual water. Say, the dragon's going to go after Israel. Whether he, which I would assume is probably militarily, because this is one of the big things of him. He has, as we go along in this, we find out that he is going to have numbers of nations who are behind him. He's going to have at least other seven nations are going to join his little thing we know of, which the scripture will show us. So in all, there's going to be probably 10 nations that are going to be behind him specifically. So he's going to probably use armies to go after them. And it tells here, he said, you know, that the earth protect them. People say, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. It could be, you know, earthquakes or whatever else, or things that happen, swallow them. I mean, we have from, if we look at history, in the scriptures of things that God, sometimes in judgment, God did cause earthquakes that swallowed up armies, that things that different stuff had happened, and things could be very well what could go on at that time. I'm not going to say for sure, but we know when he goes out after them, this is what his great attempt is going to be. Because we have, you know, Exodus 19:4 says this. He says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Well, in other words, God didn't make them fly. It's just, this is, he's trying to say, in other words, he got Israel out of there where they were at and got him away from it. And it's in this sense is what he's going to do again. So I've heard people say, well, he's going to do a military airlift and all that kind of stuff. They actually wrote that in books, those books that were written, you know, that their series that they wrote about, what was that called, that series that they did, all those books. And they wrote all this stuff, and it's turned out that loads of it isn't, no longer, it's no longer even had all of them out. But anyhow, they wrote that series, and it became really popular. They made a lot of money. It's one thing they did, they made millions. They made millions of dollars. I even thought one of that is because I knew at that time the things that I just knew and I knew they wrote about in them, and I know this ain't right. It ain't going to be. You know, they had what people were taking. Everybody just disappeared, and there was a pile of clothing when the Christians left, and it was like, it ain't going to be that way. The Bible don't even teach it. But people copy what everybody else says. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. They just run around. They don't take time to study, and they don't take time to pray and ask God what he was trying to say. And, you know, something, I don't really know what it is. Well, I don't know what it is. You just, you know, it's no use to speculate. This is what I know. God's going to protect Israel. Okay, there we go. We got it. Real simple. Because if the Antichrist could get anybody anywhere they want, what good would it do to leave one place? It wouldn't do a thing. So God has a plan to take care of Israel. You know, in Isaiah, it's one of the scriptures that I thought about it, because Isaiah said this in Isaiah 59:19. He said this. He said, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun." It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. In other words, that terminology is used in prophecy, but it isn't. The enemy comes in like a flood. He comes in like water. He uses an illustration of it, is the term there is used. And in the same way, I believe it's being used in the book of Revelation in the same manner as what it's talking about. But we have here in Matthew 24, verse 21, something that when Jesus said, he said, "For when there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor even shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no life will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." In other words, that 3.5-year period that 3.5 year period. If it went any longer than that, there wouldn't be anybody left on the face of the earth. When Jesus returns, he returns when everything is really bad. Things are really, really bad. No one has ever seen a time on the earth. You know, we think about, you know, this one thing with Israel. Israel thinks the Holocaust was terrible. They have no seen nothing yet is coming in their history. They have seen nothing. You know, we're right now. I want to tell you what, I United States is only behind Israel today by word. That's it. Oh yes, we're for you. But they aren't doing nothing to be for him. You know, today we're living a world of talk. That's what we live in, a world of talk. People say, well, you know, I believe this, I believe that. Yeah, do you do it? No, we don't do it. We just say we believe it. And we're, you know, as nationally, one of the things is dealing in the subject with Ezekiel and the war of Ezekiel. It says that nobody will come to Israel's aid. The United States ain't going to go to Israel's aid. I'm just telling you that. The Bible never lies. Only stupid people that believe, well, yeah, we love, we'll do this and we'll do that. I'm sorry, God said. I go with God said every time. I don't care what Americans say. I'm going with God said. God said nobody's going to come to their aid. I believe it's true. And one of the things of it is, God's going to prove who he is, because he's going to spare Israel, he's going to save Israel and destroy their enemies. And there are people who are going to watch it when nobody was aiding them. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes you just, you know, hallelujah. Well, and Daniel wrote about this also. Daniel, the 7th chapter in verse 25. Daniel said something here. He spoke of this one. When he goes, this one, when the Satan's cast down, and he turns around and has his man is in charge. It says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints. You see what he says? He's going to what? Persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and a half. 3.5 years. For 3.5 years. This is when all this persecution starts. These last 3.5 years, I hear people talk about, well, when this thing comes and they'll be, you know, like in the 7 years, they'll start killing the Christians. No, it isn't. The Bible's clear on the subject. If you sit down and read the Bible, it's the last 3.5 years. That's when all this stuff starts. The first 3.5 years, he's going to be Mr. Wonderful. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. He's going to have a covenant with Israel. He's going to stop the, you know, Israel's going to have about 3.5 years where nobody's bugging them. And then they would have rather had somebody bug them than have what's going to happen in the earth after that time period. Things are going to go south really quick. In Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 7 says this, then I heard the man clothed in linen, and who was, this was an angel that Daniel saw, above the waters of the river, when he held up his hand, as lifted hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a times and a half. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Does it sound like nice stuff going to happen? Even it's going to be a tough time for people in the earth. If you're going to believe, and you're going to be a believer then, ain't no wimpies going to be believing.
That's right.
The wimpies will be taking the mark. There will not be. People need to know. If you're going to be here, you're going to have to be willing to give your life up. I mean, I believe the word's right. I don't think it's going to be like people. People have said all kinds of stuff and said things. They ought to sit down and read the Bible sometime. I'm just convinced it's going to be uglier than it sounds. I'm just, you know, I just can't. If this is the worst time on the face of the earth, I want you to think, we've had plagues take place on this earth where, like in Europe, they lost about 60% of the population in Europe died. 60% of the population died. We talk about bad things and stuff happening. You know, we go like, just with the Second World War, Russia lost 23 million people in the Second World War. One nation. 23 million. Did they say 8 million Jews? Yeah, but 23 million Russians died. I mean, how many Polish, when you go down through all the people that died in the Second World War, all the deaths. Huge. You know, United States almost lost nothing compared to the other nations. But I'm going to tell you what, it won't happen again. The United States ain't the same country. They will not get the protection they have had. They will not. People need to understand this. You know, we let the people let things go. We've been so fortunate. But keep playing games. And they ain't good games. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see Jesus. I don't want you. They're cutting off heads. I'm going first. All right, go ahead. Let's get out of here and get this over with. No arguments. Let's just do it. hallelujah. Don't fight it. Let's just leave. Glory to God. Well, we're going to start into the 13th chapter. It picks up from here. We're going to look at it. In the 13th chapter, it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and he said, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." In other words, he talks about the heads, not just a head, just heads. There was ten crowns. He said, on this beast, he saw it rising out. It had 7 heads, but it had 10 horns. And now, and we'll talk about this, the same, this is the beast that Daniel saw. And we'll go down through and read about these things, about this beast, and some things that Daniel saw. We're going to look at a kingdom. Now, one of the things we deal, horns are represented, or representations of heads, or other words, or leaders of authority. We're talking about authority. That's what it represents. Into here, we're talking about crown. When he's talking about these crowns, these are going to be nations. In other words, these are kingdoms. There's going to be which are going to be behind him. We're going to go on because it goes into more detail, and we'll look at other things in Scripture. We'll see that verifies this thing. One of the things in dealing with Daniel, Daniel had a vision also, and in Daniel's vision, he saw the beast. What he saw, it said in Daniel the 7th chapter, and I'm going to read two verses there of it with Daniel, what Daniel saw going on. It said in Daniel the 7th chapter in verses 7 and 8 says, "And after these I saw in the night vision, and behold a fourth beast," he said, "dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had a huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. It said, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them. Before them, 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words." Now, this is talking about the beast in. In other words, Daniel sees a thing in a little bit differently, but it's the same thing as he's talking about. And as we go on and we read this, we'll find out about what it means about he saw the 3 horns plucked up, and he talks about this going on. We'll see about it. There was one of the things that Daniel saw in a vision. Daniel saw 7 heads or 7 kingdoms that he had saw take place in over a historical period that Daniel did. We'll read through some of this, of what Daniel saw. But we're going to look at this first because Daniel saw the different kingdoms of the earth that were going to take place in the earth. There were 7 heads or the 7 kingdoms. The 7 kingdoms deal, the Babylonian kingdom was 606 BC to 536 BC. There was the Medo-Persians, what they took Babylon. They took over Babylon. They were 536 to 330 BC. There was the Grecian kingdom, which Alexander the Great. He ran it. He was 330 BC to 146 BC. Then the Roman kingdom came along. Rome was 200 BC to 400 AD. Now, there was a revive. There's what was he? Daniel also saw was the revived. He saw a great statue. One of the things that he saw, and we'll look at that. He saw a statue which started with the Babylonian Empire, which God told it had a head of gold, which God told him was the Babylonian Empire itself. And there's going to be a revived Roman Empire, which we'll go on and look at, which seems to be, like some people believe, well, it's a European Union. I believe it probably could be a pretty good chance of that. Because when we talk about a revived Roman Empire, that's part of the area. Europe was part of what Rome ran, you know, they ordered. But they also, you know, they had Egypt and along in that area too. They dominated all around the Mediterranean coast. And I mean, eventually they took England and things like that. But they had Spain and all those countries and France. They ran that whole show, Germany, all those areas and that stuff that they covered. The Roman Empire. Now, so there's a revived Roman Empire was going to happen. Daniel saw in a vision, was told that it was going to have, there's going to be a revived Rome, an empire that was going to come. It was going to come out of Rome. And so, in other words, we don't know for saying it's going to be, the rule is going to be out of the actual, like say, you know, out of Italy itself, but it's the Roman Empire, however it's going to operate. So, we have here, this beast came out of the sea. Really, when you see that it came out of the sea, it really deals with people. This is what comes out of the people. They're the sea. The European Union was really formed and started out of there's this treaty, this Maastricht Treaty, which it was in 1993, started this whole thing off. It says, how do we arrive at the identity of the beast? He says, out of the sea. Well, Romans 13:31, it says, with the Roman Empire, to answer the question, we must read the prophecies of the second chapter of Daniel, which we're going to do. So there are given there descriptions of Nebuchadnezzar's dream as a great image. And in the second chapter of Daniel, in verses 31 and 32, we're going to read first, it says, whose head was of fine gold, that was Babylon. It says, his breast and his arms of silver, that was the Medo-Persian Empire. That was the ones who took, in fact, you read it in the Bible about it, the Medo-Empire when Persia took over Babylon. And actually did it in one night, took over Babylon. It says, his belly, this is his statue, his belly, his thighs of brass, which turn around and represent the empire of Alexander the Great. It says his legs of iron, which were Rome, for his feet part. And the feet, it says, are part of iron and part of clay, which is the revived Roman Empire, which is the thing to come. Now in Daniel, in verses 18 and 19, says the Almighty gave Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation to Daniel to in response to, in other words, his believing prayer. He prayed and he gave it to him. He says, so really, the mercy of God of heaven concerning this secret, says the secret was revealed. So Daniel in 37 and 38, and he says, thou, O King Nebuchadnezzar, art this head of gold, which is the Babylonian Empire. And it was with Daniel, so it is true with the saints throughout time, divinely revealed prophecy. Understand this about divinely revealed prophecy. It is merely showing history in the future. It points to the future, but it shows what's going to go on. You see what's going to happen. And like we found it out with this, we look at this, we go back and see the revelation Daniel guys, we can look back and see all the history from what was shown to him in the future. We can see those things. So, in Daniel, in 39, he says, after you, he said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to rise another kingdom, and that was the kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire, which was under Darius and Cyrus. Cyrus was the king that was prophesied that there would be a king, a man named Cyrus, and he would really, ahead of time, was prophesied, I forget how many years it was in advance, of that, it was prophesied that he would be the one who gets the temple built again in Jerusalem, and it turned out he was the one. When he was became the king, after Darius, he sent the Jews back and actually gave them the money to rebuild the temple. The Medo Empire is going to be inferior to yours. Then it says a third kingdom, a bronze, and that was the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great, which shall rule over all the earth. And in verse 40 it says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. That was the Roman Empire. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. And that's really what the Roman Empire really is, as long as it lasted. The Roman Empire was a very strong empire on the earth. There was a difference between the Roman Empire. Like if you take, the Babylonian Empire, which was the empire of gold, probably in many ways was more, had more wisdom in a lot of things than what, and being able to do certain things than the Roman. The Roman Empire, they just ran by, you know, brute might. That's what they did. That's how they ruled. And so, we see these things going on. In other words, there's a kingdom coming. Now, if we go back to Revelation in the 13th chapter, and we go to verse 2, it says, concerning this beast, it says, in verse 2 says, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. It says, for his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So we see that here this dragon, which was we found back in chapter 12, this dragon was there. It says, so Satan gives the Antichrist his power, his throne, and his authority. This is where this comes from. So we know this, that the kingdoms that follow after him, they're yielding to demonic spirits, they're yielding to demonic powers while this time is going on. Now, it says in the World English Bible on verse 3, it says, I want to read that in there. It says, one of his heads looked like it had been wounded fatally. His fatal wound was healed, and the whole world marveled at the beast. So one of the rulers that's going to come out of this thing with the heads, which ends up to be the Antichrist, there's going to be a miraculous thing takes place. This is one of the things we need to be very careful about, because when it comes down to what we think is supernatural or something supernatural event, people need to learn how to read what's supernatural, what's God, and what's not, because Satan can do things. It evidently shows here that this one individual in this group, in this head, is going to be wounded, in other words, to die, and appears to be is going to come back to life. Now, that don't make it God, but it will for most people. if anything, I'm going to tell you what. Christians today are, and I'm talking about spirit-filled people, are suckers for about anything you think of. We came along and had this thing going on out there with this gold flake and jewel thing showing up and all this kind of stuff going on. And spirit people gulped it up and followed. Rhema people followed it like crazy. Oh, this is God. Anything supernatural. Well, it's one thing, as you study scriptures, God don't do supernatural to show off. Never does. Supernatural is done by God it will always bring deliverance or help to somebody. It doesn't just, God's not a show off. You know, God didn't cause the sun to stop just so he could make the sun stop. He did it during a war so his people in the earth could win the war. It's always in the areas. You need to read these things. And people don't. People are moved by just because something supernatural happens, and they will follow it. This is one of the things the Antichrist is going to do. You know, the Antichrist, the false prophet, we're going to read this, we'll find this out as we study. He gets the people to make an image, and then he makes that image come to life. He's smart. He ain't going to make the image, because it's going to really be a thing of supernatural. People will follow, because they're going to make the image so they know that this thing ain't some, you know, electronic jobby that's out here running in it. I heard people write, say, yeah, this, he's going to make this thing. He don't make it. The scripture's clear that the people make it. He has the people make the image, and he makes it come to life. Supernatural. This image is going to come to life. And you know what? Man, when that happens, people are going to follow. They're going to be like sheep to the slaughter. They're just going to, they're going to run in after it, you know? Man, this is God. You know, who else could do this? And they're going to follow things. That's why, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I've watched people follow all this different kinds of stuff over time. I've seen the stuff come and go. I've watched it. I watched when I was at Rhema, this woman who come along, she was out of South America, and she came along and she'd have this thing of oil and blood in her hands and doing all kinds of stuff and things. And I was at meetings, and we were working and helping a ministry out. Rhema asked us if we'd go over and help this one, ministry out. They were doing some stuff, and we were going to help them set. They're having these big meetings, and they needed people to help how to park cars, how you get people in safely and out safely in a short period of time, how you set up a system. They didn't have one. So, you know, I worked in with Rhema system and that stuff and helped set it up. And so they asked if I'd go over and take a group of guys over to help them. So we did. And I went, went in the service, and this woman is sitting there, and she's sitting up front. Rod Parsley's up front preaching. Now, you know Rod Parsley, he preaches, he could spit 30 rows, but you know how he preaches and he goes. And Rod Parsley's up front there, and I go in and sit down and I think, what's wrong with Rod Parsley? Something's wrong here. It ain't right because he's not in a flow. This woman's sitting down in the front, and people keep, these ushers keep walking back and forth and bringing her towels. And I'm wondering, what is this thing going on? But I knew this right away. This ain't God. God don't do something like that. He anoints a person to preach. He ain't down here doing things that cause to draw the tension away from him. I thought, this is, do you know what? Not a minister in that place. Since all the people on the stage, I'd name names, you'd be shocked. They all think it's God. They all think it's God. And I was watching that down there, and I said to the guy next to me, I don't know what's going on down there, but it ain't God. Rod Parsley finally bought his message to an end. He didn't finish it. He just sort of bought the end because this is going on down there. And I'm thinking, this ain't right. This ain't right. God doesn't do this. God's not the author of confusion. The devil is. So I know who's running this show. I know who's running this meeting. And it ain't God. And the biggest name minister of the bunch stood up in front and said, after Rod started, said, God wants her to lay hands on all of us. And I said to the guy next to me, goodbye, I'm out of here. She ain't touching this boy. Adios, amigos. And all those big names, let God lay hands, let that lady lay hands on. And when our things get messed up, folks, you better learn to read things. You better know it, learn to know. So one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin, always talked about, you know, you look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus didn't do things but bless people, things that bless people. He never showed off. Never showed off. He didn't do things to show off. The manifestations of the Spirit are to bless people. That's what it is. And that wasn't bringing no blessing at all. It was taking away from the anointing, drawing attention to her, not Jesus. All the attention's going to her. That ain't God. That's not God. And so we need to be very careful. It's here when this thing, when people see an event take place, once they see something supernatural, you know how to learn how to read it. Just one thing, if you don't know what it is, well, just let it alone till God shows you. But you can't join in anything by faith unless you know it's God. You can anyhow. So if you do join in, I don't care if it is God, you can't do it by faith. You don't know. Whatever isn't faith, it don't please God. So take the time to find out. Don't jump on the wagon. Supernatural things. Probably about 85 or so, something like that. There was a young girl over in Italy who had this thing of, she was bedridden in a bed. Was in a bed, couldn't do things, but her hands and stuff would bleed all the time and all this stuff and things. Oh, and they had this big thing of, oh, this is God, you know, this is the whole really cool thing. It's like always, they're like what Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said, there's only one person's blood makes any difference, and that's Jesus. The rest of them, he said it couldn't be God because it don't matter at all. And, but you know what? They monitored her and watched her. She didn't eat for weeks on end and just stayed normal. Well, you know, the whole thing was they said, oh, this is miraculous. Well, sure it was miraculous. But it draws attention to her. This ain't doing nothing for Jesus. Everybody's coming to her. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming to Jesus. People fall for it. Oh, yeah, this is really something. By the droves. People are weird as a day is long. I mean, they don't, you know, anything that seems like it's something. What do I care if a statue has tears running down its eyes? Dear God, what does that do for Ed? Not a thing. It'll do nothing for Ed. Hallelujah. I don't have to chase a statue around to get healed or delivered or anything like that. You can get that, you know. But people follow everything under the sun. They just chase after things and they just go after it. All kinds of deception. So this one is going to have to seem, in other words, there's things that people can look for that's going to set this person where people are going to start to follow this individual. So this is probably about the beginning of the tribulation period. This guy's going to get moved into power. People are going to, something miraculous happens and everybody jumps on the boat. Say, yeehaw! Is number one, I could see surely that the Catholic Church, now it's not Catholics, but the Catholic leaders will follow it in a minute if they see anything like that. Because they, you know, anything that happens that looks like it's some kind of thing supernatural, they chase it. So, that doesn't mean every Catholic's messed up because, you know, not everybody goes, but the hierarchy will follow it. They'll follow it. They will. And you're going to have a lot of people will go ahead and go after this stuff. And then people would start to follow. So one thing is Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 6 and verse 16, he said, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Well, you watch what you follow. You follow the wrong person, you can be following sin and a slave to sin. Know what you're... You know what? God always told me who I was supposed to follow and walk after. It always did. What I was supposed to be careful about and what not. I didn't, you know, I used to belong to a ministerial group. And now, this ministerial group, I mean, it was headed up by a Rhema minister and all this stuff going on. And I belonged to this group. And the first meeting I ever went to, they had a minister from Mexico, and all they did was blow his horn. And I mean, oh, this guy, he's the next best thing to slice bread for Jesus. And they're going all this stuff. And they just spent this whole meeting, and they just built him up and built him up, how wonderful he was. This is the first meeting I was when I joined the thing. And so I'm, you know, there in the meeting, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, this guy, he could have been as good as they said. But this is one thing. I never like it when you build somebody up so much. Because you know what? What happens is this. You'll eventually find out he's just a man. And then, you know what happens? They set him up for a fall because you sit and look and say, you find out when he makes a mistake, they done told you he was God. Now it turns out he ain't. So what? It sort of deflates, it makes it worse than what it was because of how much they built him up. Well, anyhow, we're having breaks and that stuff. So we have these meetings. They'd have about four maybe meetings during the day and that stuff. And we get together with these things. And so it's lunchtime. And so they're, people going to have lunch and stuff and things. We're going to go. And this guy, and I just thought it was really interesting because there's a lot of people there. He comes right back to me, introduces himself. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know this guy or nobody. He reaches his hand out to shake hands. And when I touch his hand, the Lord said to me, you stay away from him. And he said, you need to come down to Mexico. So I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, these guys are blowing his horn to God's head and stay away from him. What is going on? I'm thinking, what is going on? I mean, this guy targets me. I'm thinking, what is happening? I come to this meeting. Well, a couple of years we go by. See, time goes by. All this time, he's blowing his horn. They're blowing his horn. And then I find, this guy's been lying about everything about his ministry and all kinds of stuff. This guy's been shacking up with his secretary. He's been all kinds of things and all kinds of stuff going on. But they're blowing it. Now all of a sudden, oh, what happened? And I thought, you guys did this. You did it. You're looking at him as what? No, you did it. You followed him and built it up. You did this. That ain't the only time that I've watched that happen. I watched another guy in the group that they did who blew his horn and blew his horn, found out he was more messed up than the guy. And it was funny because I would go to different countries. I would teach always. They'd have me teach in Bible schools, and I taught in Bible schools, and that was just, you know. And he wanted me to come over to India because he had a big Bible school. He has a big school. And he kept, come on over and teach. I want you to come over. Because, you know, he knew the one places I taught and that stuff. And went, come over. I could never get clear to go teach this. And I often wonder why I can't get clear to go teach this guy's school. I think it's sort of odd. I can't. Every time I sort of want to do in that direction, it goes like, everything's just sort of like, yeah, like God didn't say don't go teach here, but nothing ever worked out to go teach there. And then I found out why, what happened, and all this stuff blown up. I mean, this guy for years on then 10, he's probably messed around with 300 different women, and he's just, this guy has been just a mess, and all the stuff he's done. I don't know. Were you? I mean, one woman were a man. But anyhow, you know, just, but this is one of the things that I just want to, you know, we got to understand when they don't talk about this stuff when we go into the book of Revelation. People get all kind of ideas, but this stuff has to speak to us in our lives about where we are. If it don't, it ain't much of a book.
Amen.
It's not much of a book. But it speaks where we're at. Because we can find out in human nature. The human nature, like we, you know, it's today. People being popular and things draw people just because of, we gotta check ourselves of what we jump into and do just because it's popular and that's, things look good, look nice. Things sometimes don't look bad, you know. They look good, but it may not be good. You don't know. And that's one thing, is you gotta learn to be led by the Spirit. If something doesn't seem right to you, everything, I've learned this in my Christian walk, that sometimes things really look good and they aren't, but for some reason on the inside, I can't hook to it. And I don't, sometimes, I don't know why. I'll just like, but I know that I've learned this. Till I know in my spirit I'm clear to hook that, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay away from that. You know, some things, as a direction you have to take, somebody else may be able to take another direction, but you can't. You have to, and you know, don't get in disobedience and go because everybody's saying, hey, come along and jump in. No, it's not yours. And you need to know that. Everybody needs to be, because there's always people trying to get you. People always want other people to do what they're doing. They always want people to do that. I'm doing this. God may very well call them to it, but everybody else ain't called to it.
Amen.
And you have to learn that. They're always trying to, just because somebody has a good ministry, that don't mean you're to be part of it.
Amen. Preach.
It can be good. You might not be. Whatever. You got to go to what you're called to. There's no point in being led by the Spirit if you can just see whatever thing is, looks good to do, go do. I mean, that. But that's the way most people operate. And I've learned this. Some of my biggest mistakes was over that. In fact, one of the mistakes, and it was my fault. It was because God warned me. But as a young Christian, He was very gracious to me. But we were in a meeting in a church. We're just young Christians, and we were at this church in the meetings, and we're saying, well, it's a Sunday morning service, and we're at this Sunday morning service, and we're worshiping God. And this couple comes in about the middle of the worship service, and they come in, and they come down through and walk in the row in front of us and stand there and worship. They come down and in that row, and they're standing there, and they're standing there. Now, I'm just a young Christian. Mom and I don't know nobody around the place. We just, you know, we're there. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. It came up in me just as clear. It ain't doing them any good to be here. And the first thing that entered my mind, why? How do you even know these people? Why would I think that of them? I'm thinking, why would I think that? Well, I wasn't thinking it. And, you know, see, the first you get over here, you know, because I don't know these people. And man, I wish I listened to that. Because we ended up eventually getting involved with these people in some stuff. And turned out, he was a real problem. See, God was trying to keep me out of trouble. But, you know, things look good. But God was trying to tell me, it didn't do any. And you know what I found out? It was exactly right. It didn't do them a bit of good to go to church. He was a Rhema graduate. As flaky as the day was long. He was wasting his time going to church. Because his whole intents and motives of life had nothing to do with God. It was all about him. You know, Jesus wasn't even on the picture. He thought he was. Just, but see, God tried to warn me. Don't matter if it looks good. Watch out. Look good. But it didn't turn out good. Hallelujah. But God's grace was on. But you know, we ended up, you know, I went through some things because of that I wouldn't have had to go through. And you say, well, God did this for a purpose. No, He didn't. Ed did it for a purpose, and it was a wrong purpose. That was Ed's doing. We won't put that one on Jesus. Hallelujah. But God was good, gracious, and kind to the stupid guy, Ed. And He'll be kind to you, because you'll miss it at times too. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't quit. You'll miss it at times and do it. But you know, those were great learning experiences for me, for I learned to be led by my Spirit. One of the things that really bothers me is I see Christians, people go through things and they never learn. They'll just do it again and again to things. They never learn to listen to their spirit. They just make all their judgments by what looks good and seems right. It don't work. It's learned because why? Learn to protect yourself. Learn to protect yourself. Listen to your spirit. If you do, your spirit, God will, there's one thing to be led by the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. But there's another thing for you lead yourself in the wilderness to get tempted. You will not do as well. You may not overcome there. I know. I know. You don't overcome there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I thought that was good to share. Some of those things are just good to talk about, is to deal with those things. Just a few things we're going to cover here. I'll read some more scriptures here, and then we'll close here. In Revelation, back to the 13th chapter. Verses 4 through 6. It goes back over, it says, so they worship the dragon. See, these people worship the dragon, gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So we see here is what the people see. He comes along. They're going to worship him. Whatever is going to take place with him and his reviving to life, man, he's going to be God to them. Whatever takes place there, I don't know what all it's going to be or whatever, but I'll tell you, it's going to be something major supernatural is going to take place. And so people, it says they worship the dragon. Well, the dragon is Satan. In other words, they start worshiping Satan. This is what these people do. People worship Satan sometimes and don't realize what they're worshiping. They think, loads of religions think they're worshiping God, and it ain't. Mm-hmm. Oh, they might call it God. Yeah, it is a God, but to them, but it's not the God we talk about. So they say, who's able to make war against him? In other words, who could stand against this guy? Whatever it is going to be something really supernatural is going to take place here. It says, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So see, this is going to happen. This is what takes place at this period. The Bible shows us again and again the starting of this, and it's the last 3.5 years. And that's why most teachers, the 7 years and it starts. And no, it don't. I mean, the Bible's so clear on the subject. You got to be stupid and just not read the Bible to figure this thing out. This is pretty obvious. If you're lucky, maybe you can get out of the earth in the first 3.5. Dear God, the thing is, go when the church goes. I'll tell you, that's the thing. Leave them. It's not going to be a pretty thing. He opens his mouth and he blasphemes against God. He blasphemes his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in the earth. And so we're looking at the Antichrist. This last 3.5 years, his blasphemy, and things go on. We'll end up picking up from there to go on in the 13th chapter the next time. But I thought to reiterate into these things because they fit. There's a lot of deception out here today, folks. There's a lot out here going on today. The Bible talks about Satan. Now the devil has his ministers. Not everybody standing in pulpits, and I'm not talking about just some off-the-wall church out here somewhere. There's people. Just a little story about it. Randall Greer was told us a story about happened to him. He was ministering. They were having sort of a camp meeting type thing that they were holding. A series of meetings pretty long. They had numbers of different speakers and stuff were doing, and he was asked to come and speak. And there was this minister. He wasn't a Rhema graduate, but he was really tied to Rhema. There was ministers and that stuff where people didn't go to Rhema, but were very close to Brother Hagin and stuff, that he knew them over the years and stuff. Well, this guy here wasn't like close to Brother Hagin, but he was close in the Rhema circles and that stuff, and everybody go to his church. And Randy didn't really know him well or anything like that, but he was asked to come there and speak. And Randy said that he was in they had a room where he could go and pray, but he was going to be ministering. And he said he was in his room praying and that stuff, before the time of the service and stuff and things. And he was in there praying. And he said the minister, who's the guy, was the head of this thing, was at this church, said he came in the room and he said he started praying and he said, what people would say was tongues, but he said, oh my God, he said, I couldn't stand it. He said, the more he prayed, I wanted to get out of this room. He said, I couldn't stand it in there. He said, with this guy. He said, it was just, I know what he means. We had one time in our own church years ago, back when we were over at the Birch Road there meeting. And we had a woman spoke out, spoke in tongues. And I'm going to tell you what, it was like somebody just screeching away on a chalkboard with a piece of chalk. And it's like, in my spirit, it was the most awful thing I heard. I mean, I just like, she's talking in tongues. I don't know. Some people, you know, well, some people didn't pick it up. Some people thought there was something special was going to happen in there. But, and I'll tell you what, I knew it was wrong. I knew this spirit wasn't God. I knew it wasn't God. I was going to deal with it. The Lord said to me, let it alone. Don't deal with it so people won't understand. Let it alone. And I know what Randy was talking about. Getting around somebody doing that, it's just, I mean, it's the most horrible thing. If you have any spirituality, it's like, oh, you know it ain't God. And Randy said he realized this guy that he's dealing with, and it's just like this woman's dealing with. I don't believe she was saved at all. I don't, you know, they say, oh, she's, I don't believe she was saved. I don't believe at all she was saved. I always wondered about her anyhow. I never thought she was, had a lot going on for her from a standpoint of spirituality. I always thought she was messed up. And Randy said, I realized, he said, this guy wasn't even a Christian. He said, I realized he just had a religious spirit. You need to understand this. There's people out here that people think are some kind of saints, and they ain't saints. They have a religious spirit, and it ain't God. It's a demonic power. And they'll do all kind of religious stuff. See, if people aren't spirit, they don't know. This guy's a pastor of a church. He's sitting in a big church. All these Rhema people go there to speak. They found out later. Randy went to Rhema about it and told him to concern the guy. And they sort of made fun of him. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, this and that and the other thing. And yeah. They gave Randy a hard time. He said, this guy ain't says something right here. This ain't right. I learned over time, keep your mouth shut, because people don't, just because somebody's a leader and got a big thing don't mean he knows anything about things of the Spirit. I've learned to get around. Because most of the time, even if they're wrong, they don't want to admit they're wrong. Get over it. We miss it. Get over yourself. Those things we thought were good wasn't. And he said a couple years went by and everything fell apart, and they found out that this guy wasn't at all what he said he was. But yet, all these people would go there and go to his church and stuff. And Randy talked about it, because what happened in that meeting was this and that. He said, you talk about people misreading. He said, I was up front ministering, and he said the anointing was on me really strong. And he said, I walked down off the platform. He said, I was ministering, I walked down off the platform, and I was going to walk out through. And he said, this minister stood up. And he said, I knew when he stood up, he wanted to step in to take over and something. He said, I knew it, but he said, I didn't say anything. He stood up, and he said, when he stood up, the power of God hit him and knocked him on the floor. And he couldn't move or do or talk or do anything. He laid on the floor. But he said, everybody in the place thought, oh, this is the power of God. This is great. Oh, God's moving on him and this and that. Randy said, God just brought it to a stop so he couldn't mess up the ministry that was going on. He said, that's all it was. He said he laid there the rest of the service. He couldn't move, couldn't talk, couldn't do nothing. Just laid there. And this is why we learn to need to learn to judge things. I've learned over time that everything. You know, I've sat in Brother Hagin's meetings already, and people were doing things, and I knew Brother Hagin wasn't happy about it. Certain things go on and happen, and he ain't happy. People see it and they think it's God, and they're just going on, and I just know this ain't God. Brother Hagin said to us already, he said, certain things in the meeting, he said, people get off. He said it caused more problem trying to bring it to a stop than just let it go. Just let it alone. He said, because people don't understand. Not everything that glistens gold. It's sorry to say that people don't know. They just don't know. They don't know. That's why when the Lord told me, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the spiritual, amount to nothing as a Christian. I understand what he's saying about it. It is so important that we learn to need to know what's God. And if we're not sure, there's nothing wrong with you if you just don't jump in with other people. If you don't know, just Hey, I don't know. I don't, you know. When I find it out, I'll let you know. Until then, I ain't getting in the ball game. We ain't playing this game. You know? You have to join people. I mean, that's the norm today. Everybody wants to be part of the crowd. I'm sorry. The crowd is usually wrong.
Amen.
The crowd is usually wrong. The crowd don't know. You know, I went through the things that they did, all the stuff with laughter. And there was move of God dealing with laughter, and laughter would move. But I was in services. I was in services, and they had laughter, and none of it was God. It's people doing things. And what upset me about it, God wanted to do some things of delivering and healing some people, and he couldn't because people were playing the laughter game, and and the Spirit of God lifted. And they're all doing their thing. You can get over things in the natural, do stuff, you know, and that stuff. And people need to know, what's the Spirit doing? I saw Brother Hagin, and I knew Brother Hagin was going to start operating under the prophet's ministry. And I was in a meeting right near a church at Rhema. And there was a woman sitting up in the balcony. And all of a sudden, she just busted out laughing, huge, loud, just laughed. Nothing was going moving in that direction, but she started, and people started following her. And Brother Hagin just turned around, went over, sat down, and everybody went off and went in this nuts and in the laughing. God wasn't moving in that direction. People need to be careful what they do. You know, I've sat in meetings right lots of times. I would know, like, when Brother Hagin was going to do something. You know, sometimes, and people need to know this, you know, you'll be in a meeting and that stuff. Let's say somebody speaks in tongues or something like that. I know this. I have the interpretation. That don't mean I'm supposed to give it just because I know what it is. Because in the Spirit, I can pick things up. Don't mean I'm supposed to give it. Maybe somebody else is supposed to give it. One of the things, if I'm sitting down there, I think there's somebody, you know, sitting up on the stage, and it'd be better if they did because they have the tension of everybody. Let them go ahead and do it. People don't know. They don't realize they can destroy things and stop the move of the Spirit because people don't understand and don't know. They don't get it. Learn to be led by the Holy Ghost. Learn to live. I just learn on the inside. Well, if God wants me to give it, he'll show me. If he wants me to give it, I'll give it. There's things that pick it up. It's like me and Brother Hagin. I'd be in meetings and I'd think, you know, he's going to start prophesying. I know it. I just pick it up. But you need to understand this. The Holy Ghost don't have to tell you everything. You're a spirit being. You can pick things up in the spirit realm that are happening. You can. Learn to do that. Learn to listen. Learn to pick up the flow of the spirit in a meeting, not wait till it happens. Learn to pick it up. Because you can. Because you're a spirit being. And you can learn to pick up things in the spirit. And say, you know, they're going to just move in this way. See, when people can't do that, people will get moved off into other things. You know, I've watched Brother Hagin do this in meetings already and that stuff. He'd be ministering, he'd stop, and he'd say, look, God wants to move in certain things, but people keep wanting to move. He said, the congregation keeps wanting to have this type of service. He said, you got to stop. See, they're pulling in a direction. They're pulling, they want certain things. So you got to know, there's things that the Holy Spirit, there's people who can't get answers from God because they won't let God answer. They keep pulling in a direction. And they stop God from giving the answer that they need because their answer isn't in the direction they want. So they pull in a certain direction, and the Holy Ghost can't give them an answer. So you need to be careful. I said, Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin, boy, you got to quit pulling in these directions because I can't miss because that ain't the direction the Holy Ghost is going. You know? People want stuff. And then get pulling on things rather than stop and saying, God, what do you want to do in this? What do you want to do here? What's your intent here in this place? So my intent, what I want. And see, there are things that we just have to learn, you know, that we have to learn to be spiritual. You know? It's not knocking anybody, it's just the way it is. It's just the way that it is. And the bad part of God today, you can't turn on your TV and hear anybody talk about this stuff or preach about it because they don't know a thing about it. They're doing what they want. Doing what they want to do. Why? Let's please the crowd. The crowd's pulling to this. If I follow the crowd, they'll write checks. Oh, yeah. They understand it. They know how it works. I'm not pulling with the crowd. Well, I'm going to tell you why I might close my wallet. Well, don't only close your wallet, leave. Don't let the door hit you in the rear end on the way out. Pass through it quickly. I want a move of God.
Amen.
I've watched the moves of men. I've watched the things men do. And God's better at it. Hallelujah, Father. We just want to say thank you tonight. Lord God, you love us so much. You love humanity. You're incredible. Hallelujah. Because you're still calling. Your voice still goes out. The Holy Spirit is still convicting the world of sin. Hasn't changed. He still intends, his intent is to bring men to salvation in Christ Jesus. And I say thank you. And Holy Spirit, I'm so grateful that you teach us because we need taught. Lord, Holy Spirit, there's so much that we don't understand and know. There's so much, Holy Spirit, that we need to grow up in. And I want to thank you for being so patient with us to go along to teach us. You're not against us. Hallelujah. Lord, we haven't intentionally wanted to be dumb. We didn't know. And Lord God, I just feel so bad for so many because, Lord God, I feel sorry because they sit under leaders. Lord God, I often think, my God, if you know less than me, you're in big trouble. Because I don't even know much. I can hardly think. Father, without the Holy Spirit, without you and your instruction, there's no way we can fulfill what Jesus Christ wants to do. And we're just so appreciative. We want to do the ministry of Jesus. We want to follow it. And you know that's our heart's desire, is to do what Jesus wants. And we thank you for being so patient, taking time to teach us, instruct us, to open these things up to us, to let us see. And Lord God, you didn't say anything because you're mad at anybody. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I know you well enough to know. You just want to see Jesus' ministry fulfilled. You just want to see Jesus glorified and magnified. You want to bless humanity through Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for taking the time to instruct us. Give us understanding. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.